Welcome to Arbor Bridge Church's weekly podcast with your teacher, Daryl Canty. Arbor Bridge Church exists to bridge the gospel and our community by connecting people to Jesus and each other. Visit us online at arborbridgechurch.com.
The English word fool is used more times in the book of Proverbs than any other book. It's actually used like 72 times in Proverbs. The next closest book uses it only 23 times. So it's not a stretch to say that the word, the fool in the book of Proverbs is the star, is one of the stars of the book of Proverbs. So in 1982, some of you guys may remember a little movie called Rocky III came out. It was a big part of my childhood. I loved Rocky III. I probably saw Rocky III like 50 times. Me and my brother would watch it over and over again. In the movie, the bad guy is a guy named Mr. T. And I'm old enough now to realize that some of you guys may not even know who Mr. T is. But in the movie, he has this classic line. The first time it had been said, "I pity the fool," was this. It became his catchphrase. So you can find videos on YouTube of Mr. T saying, "I pity the fool who takes drugs," or I pity the fool who you know feels like he has to brag to prove how he's so important. It's kind of his catchphrase. It's kind of his thing. All throughout the book of Proverbs, even though it wouldn't say it this way, it's basically saying that concept. He's saying, I pity the fool who doesn't embrace wisdom. I pity the fool who hates instruction. I pity the fool who hates knowledge. It's the same idea that if you do these things, you'll regret it. When I'm faced with wisdom that I don't want to hear, I start getting my rebuttal ready before I even heard it out. I would like to think that I don't hate wisdom and I don't despise, instruction. But when somebody that I don't like already, you have people in your life that, or you have famous people, you hear somebody who's famous saying something, you don't like them already, even if they're saying the truth. You're like, I don't want them. When I'm faced with wisdom I don't want to hear, I start getting all... So Proverbs says, I pity you. I pity you because you won't listen to instruction and you think you know everything already. And the reason why those of us who won't listen to wisdom are to be pitied is this. Who we trust and what we listen to greatly impacts the direction of your lives. And all of our lives are on a path right now. And there are people in your life who can see you're like, ooh, that's not going where you think it's going. But you push back. You don't want to hear. Proverbs says, I pity the fool who can't learn or can't listen, who's wise in his own eyes, who assumes he already knows. This is you do this, we do this, Somebody starts telling you something you've heard before. You're like, I know. But the reason why they're telling you is because you might know, but you're not doing it. Polydipsia is a medical term for an abnormal feeling of thirst, compulsive water drinking. It can happen for physical causes like excessively eating salty foods. If you've done a lot of sweating or you've done a lot of vomiting or you've done a lot of bleeding, some of you guys know that after Jesus has been beaten nearly to death, put nailed to the cross. Once he's up there, he says, I'm thirsty. Polydipsia can also result, though, from a psychiatric disorder where patients begin to believe that their bodies need more water even when they don't. So I have a friend who used to work in a residential mental health facility. And they only work with patients with polydipsia. So my friend told me that every single water source had to be locked. Like every single faucet, any kind of bottle, everything had. So they had people would go into the bathroom And they'd have to break the door down. They'd break the door down and find them with the back of the toilet seat out, drinking water out of the back of the toilet seat. Like, so they had to lock that down. Just crazy. So people who have polydipsia will end up, you know, drinking like 2.5 to 3 gallons of water a day. That may not sound like a lot, but it's a lot of water. It's dangerous. And after drinking that much water, they still think they're thirsty. They think they need more. So while my friend was working at the home, a few people drank themselves to death. And we're not talking about alcohol. We're talking about water. So if a patient had a good track record of doing what they're supposed to do, they would get like a day pass where they get to go out and, you know, live a normal life. Their family would come see them or something like that. In order to get out, though, they'd have to weigh in so they knew how much they weighed when they came back. And so it would be very common for people to put on all this weight because they go out and they drink a ton of water when they come back in, when they weigh in. So for the patients, in their minds, drinking excessive amounts of water was the most normal, logical thing they could do. And they would be mad at you if you tried to stop them. Why are you stopping me? They're so thirsty. And they can't imagine why you would try to stop them from getting water, because obviously we all need water. These patients drink so much water, it kills them in some cases. And it's incredible. It's incredible to me that they can't see it. It's incredible to me that they can't see it. Even though somebody's telling them, certainly they've seen other people die from this. Like, they're so sure that they're right, that they're willing to ignore everyone around them and any advice is coming in. Behind the book of Proverbs, there's this underlying assumption that when God created the world, he created order. He created this is how people work. This is how the world works. And if you want things to go right in your life, you need to live in sync with how I made things. How I think that things, you know, how I created things to work. That's the first assumption of Proverbs. God made things to work in a certain way. The second assumption, though, is this. This is a fallen world, and everyone's been distorted by sin, and each of us are drawn to our own kinds of foolishness that we push back on when people try to bring it up to us and people try to warn us. We're like, I don't want to hear that. In the same way that the people with polydipsia can approach water in ways that are not connected to reality, each of us do that with something. We do that with something. And one of the parts that's most dangerous about it is that some of us don't even know what that thing is. So dangerous. And we do it with like acceptance. We idolize acceptance. We want people to like us, and so we avoid telling the truth to people. We cross our own boundaries. We tell lies, and it's killing us. Proverbs says, "I pity the fool who pursues acceptance without boundaries. She's gonna destroy her life." Proverbs assumes that there's some area of our lives, of your life, of my life, where we are blind. And we need wisdom. It assumes that about us. I pity the fool who overworks. I pity the fool who overeats. I pity the fool who thinks that they know everything. I pity the fool who can't take instruction. Proverbs says God made the world this way, and the wise people know that there's something in us that wants to reject that order. And it invites you to listen. The created order isn't always easy to see, because we're so convinced we're right. Listen to this from Proverbs 16. It says, "We can make our own plans, but the Lord gives the right answer. People may be pure in their own eyes, but the Lord examines their motives. Commit your actions to the Lord, and your plans will succeed." This is an invitation to trust your plans to the Lord. Seek his wisdom, seek his knowledge, seek his instruction. Do you trust him? Do you trust him more than you trust your own intuition? So, and again, in regards to this, it's so easy to see in other people, and the people in your life, somebody in your family, you're thinking of them right now. They don't listen. They're always trying to tell them, and they won't. Great, you see it in other people, but can you see it in yourself? Seek his wisdom and his knowledge and his instruction. What? If you don't do anything else, obviously, so, and Pastor, one of the things we realize is that we get to speak every week, and then before you get to your car, you've forgotten everything we've said. And that's cool. That's cool. So do me this. Do me this. One thing. If you do this one thing, what area of your life do you tend to be blind to? Blind to your unwillingness to listen to any knowledge and pursue wisdom. There is an area of your life that you are in danger right now. If you just did one thing, if you answered that question and you knew what it was, what a great start. What a great start. I trust my own intuition more than I trust the Lord often, or certain celebrities or podcasters or religious leaders or whatever. I pity the fool who does not trust the Lord with all his heart, because he will be facing unnecessary trouble. So over the next weeks, I'm going to be diving into Proverbs, and we'll have the opportunity to learn how to avoid foolishness that our hearts are drawn to. And so I've asked our church family, if you're part of our church family, I've asked our church family to read a chapter of Proverbs each day during the month of July. So today, whatever, it's July 7th, read Proverbs 7. Read Proverbs 7 today, if you're willing. Also, though, in this series, I'll go through a few different specific topics highlighted by Proverbs, but I just want to mention a few things about Proverbs. So first thing is, Proverbs are not to be taken separately. They're really to be taken as a whole, because you can take a verse in Proverbs and go crazy with it, and it'll take you woo. So it's meant to be taken as a whole, and that's one of the reasons why I'd love for you to read through the whole thing this month. But also, Proverbs are poetry. So they're not absolute commands. They're not promises. Sometimes people take them as promises, and it's dangerous. It's poetry, and they're not meant to. So pastor and author Tim Keller says it this way. He says, the Hebrew word for wisdom in Proverbs includes being moral, but it goes beyond that. It's making the right choice even when there are no clear laws. What God wants from us is a relationship most. And so what that means is that he wants you to get to a point where he doesn't have to babysit you. He doesn't want there to have to be a law for every single thing. He wants you to begin to intuitive, to know him and to pursue him and to be with him so much that you begin to intuitively know, I think this is what God wants. I think this is what that he, even if there's no explicit command against what, maybe you have a tendency to be impulsive. There are no commands in the Bible about impulsiveness. But clearly, you can see how impulsiveness can lead you to do things you'll regret. God wants you to be able to make the right decision even when there is no explicit command. And think of it this way. What if you're in a relationship with a person who always needed a law to tell them what to do? So you take a picture together, and you look at that picture, and you look whack in that picture, but they look good. And so your friend posts the picture. And you're like super upset. You're like, what? Why did you post that picture? You're super upset with them. And they say, what do you mean? There's no law against. Of course, there's no laws. But you want friends. You want to have friends who know, who just, that you shouldn't have to tell. Don't post unflattering pictures of me. I don't have to pull you aside and tell you that. You want friends who just know. God wants to be in a relationship with you where you know. Proverbs is for that. It's to protect us from the thing in ourselves that looks to subtly take over, that will ruin us. And again, you see this, you know this. In your heart, in your mind, you have those moments in your mind where you say something like, I wish I never went out with him. There's no laws, there's no rules, there's nothing to say. But in hindsight now, going back, you say, I wish I never went out with him. I wish I had never said that. I wish I never put myself in that position with those people. I wish I hadn't been such a fool. Proverbs is for that. It's for those great. I wish I had saved more money. I wish I had listened to my parents. I wish I had spent more time with my grandparents. If you've ever said anything in your life like that, if you've ever had a moment like that, Proverbs is for you. So, Proverbs was written as a way to give us insight into the kind of world that God made, the order that he made it in, and to teach us how to live in it well, even when there's no rules. So a good summary of Proverbs is found in what Elise read just a little bit earlier. I'll read it to you again. It says this: listen, my sons, to a father's instruction. Pay attention and gain understanding. Get wisdom, get understanding. Do not forget my words or turn away from them. Don't forsake wisdom. She will protect you. Love her and she will watch over you. The beginning of wisdom is this: get wisdom, though it costs all you have. Get understanding. Cherish her and she will exalt you. Embrace her and she will honor you. She will give you a garland to grace your head and present you with a glorious crown. Can you see the dad that he's begging? Don't forget. Listen to what I'm saying. You've had them. If you have anybody in your life who you've cared about and you can see what's coming, you have done this or they've done, it's been done to you. Please, please don't go down this road. Please don't do this. Please don't make that decision. This is what's happening right here. Solomon is the writer of Proverbs, and he is begging his sons, please don't forget what I'm asking you to do. So, and let me bring this up. There's lots of Proverbs that's directed towards sons. And so sons were the original, they're probably the original audience for Proverbs. So many addresses and warnings are directed towards sons and males. So, and sometimes sometimes people get distracted by that. They say, this is more proof that the patriarchy and... I beg you to not be distracted by that. I beg you to not be distracted by that. There are actually some sections of Proverbs that point to the idea that the book was probably also used for the royal daughters. Proverbs 31. So this is for those of you guys who know that. So don't be distracted by that. But more focus should be on the father's warning, the father's begging. He's saying, there is something in me and there is something in you that wants to resist. And it is dangerous. This is so dangerous. So pay attention to what I'm asking you and chase wisdom with all, lean in and listen. Even when the words that are being said to you, you don't like, lean in. So often most of us, I listen to podcasts and things of people that I like, I want to hear that. So often I'm too prideful. I think I know already. Solomon would say, Daryl, come on. I pity the fool who can't learn. So one of the hard things about being a pastor is like anytime I go to a different church, I can't enjoy it. I can't worship. It's hard for me to worship. I'm just critiquing everything. All that, I wouldn't have said that. Now you shouldn't have done that. And that song sucks. And I don't like that. And God, Solomon would say, come on. Come on. What's wrong with you? Listen to wisdom. There are people in your life who are wise that you don't like. You can't hear from them. Solomon would say, anyone and everyone, anyone in your life who can give you wisdom, listen. Jesus repeats the same idea when he comes to earth. He says this: therefore, everyone who hears these words of mine and puts them into practice is like a wise man who built his house on the rock. The rain came down, the streams rose, and the winds blew and beat against that house, yet it did not fall because it had the foundation on the rock. But everyone who hears these words of mine and does not put them into practice is like a foolish man who built his house on sand. The rain came down, the streams rose, and the winds blew and beat against that house, and it fell with a great crash. So Jesus says, you heard what I said about building your life on a foundation, but you insist insisted. You insisted on assuming that you knew everything. You insisted on listening to other voices. You insisted in listening to the voice in you that says, I know better. And because, you know, and again, because of some of your baggage with your parents or some of the baggage with church or some of your baggage with your pastor or some of your baggage with me, you're like, you cannot listen. You cannot hear. And you make the decision to not listen to wisdom. Storms will come. Storms will come. And when they come, just sad. So the invitation now is to wisdom. And the flip side of that is this. For some of you guys, success will come. The storms aren't going to be what destroys you. Success is going to be what destroys you. Success will come and you'll have more money than you expected and you will not be able to bear the weight of managing those things without there being a crash. I'm inviting you to this. I'm inviting you to this today, right now. What is the thing, the sin in you, the thing in you that is drawn to saying, I already know? What is that about? So in just a few minutes, we're going to take communion together. It's a time during our worship service where we eat a little cracker and drink some juice that represents the body and the blood of Christ. If you have not been able to get some communion elements, they're out in the lobby right in the middle. So we'd love for you to participate with us if you're a Jesus follower. So when we take communion, we're proclaiming, we're shouting that Jesus Christ is who he says he is. That he is our lives, and he makes sense of how life should work here on this planet, and it makes sense of life after death. The book of Proverbs is similar. When Proverbs is read as only a small, it should be read as only a small part of a larger story. It should be read as a small part of the larger story of Christ. It's only when we read it with that it has its power. The story is a good idea that we referred to earlier, that humans have polluted God's creation with sin, and now we all need salvation. We all need salvation. The salvation is only accomplished through the Lord Jesus Christ. Proverbs gives us its fullest meaning when it's set on the foundation of Christ. Otherwise, it's just cutesy sayings that you can get from like a fortune cookie. But when you set them in, you set them on top of the foundation of Christ, you find something in Proverbs that we can build our lives on. That we can build our lives on. We find that Jesus is the wisdom that Solomon's talking about. He is the, when Jesus shows up, he says, I'm the new Solomon with ultimate wisdom. Would you commit to pursuing the wisdom of Proverbs with me so that we can build the structure of our lives on Jesus Christ, the way that it intended, the way that God ordered it? Let's pray together. Dear Father, we do not want to get to the end of a season of our lives or the end of our lives and look back and say, I was such a fool. Why did I do that? Or why did I wish I had never met him. I wish I had never said that. I wish I had listened. I wish I had leaned in. I pray that you would help us build. Jesus has done the work. Build our lives. Order our lives around the life, the death, and the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Help us to do that. Help us to leverage the wisdom of Proverbs to do that. And I pray that when we come up to storms or when we come up to success in our lives, we'll bring you glory for how we respond. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thank you for listening. If you would like more information on our church, visit us online at arborbridgechurch.com.